Hello, welcome to Strange Love Movies. My name is Olivia Martinez, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Oscar and Emily Martinez. And today, we are discussing not one, but two Best Picture nominees, The Holdovers and American Fiction. We got to see The Holdovers in the comforts of our own home, which I was sad about because I really wanted to see this in theaters because I heard such great things. And then we actually saw American Fiction the day it came out in Dallas, Texas, and it was a good time.
So let's begin with The Holdovers.
Which is something we should have talked about months ago at this point because it's clearly a Christmas movie, but we sadly just did not get to watching it until a few weeks after Christmas. But I'm super glad we finally got to see it because it was one of the most talked about films of the year, and it's a good time. It stars Paul Giamatti, Dominic Sessa, and Divine Joy Randolph, and I had a lot of fun, directed by Alexander Payne.
Yeah, I thought it was a good movie and some interesting characters. I didn't love it. I think I'd heard so much about it, I think it didn't quite live up to my expectations, but I still think it was a good film.
I think it could have been so much more cheesy and just worse in every way. So I was a big fan of it because I thought like the premise, I was like, well, that's an interesting premise if done right. But I mean, Alexander Payne is super good. So it makes sense that was good. But I know what you mean. There was so much hype about it. Oh my gosh.
Well, and also it reminded me so much of so many. I mean, there have been so many like prep school movies.
Yeah.
Robin Williams.
Dead Poet Society meets Oxford Blues or something. Yeah. You know, Rob Lowe. You
know? I know. Yeah. Besides and the American Goodwill prep Hunting schools, and, British. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, that's fair. And also all of them are in the Northeast and like,
right. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly it's always fun to watch movies about different, I guess, sectors of society or different experiences. But I don't know how much interest in this day and age or how relevant, I guess, in this day and age, how relevant the experience of a prep school boy is to most Americans. I don't know.
That's a good point. And the plot of the movie, the title says it all. The Holdovers are kids who don't have a place to go.
A good premise.
Their parents are either, what was one of the excuses? They're redecorating the house and his room was a mess.
Yeah, and someone was like, who redecorates their house in December, idiot?
Yeah, like that show, they didn't want the kid coming, but you know.
It's so sad.
Yeah, it is. It is sad. So there were what, about six or seven boys?
I think there were five.
Yeah, but then, see, I thought there was going to be about their adventures and stuff, and then there's a bit of a twist early on where, oh, suddenly it's just one boy, you know, whatever, and so it's kind of interesting how that develops, and it becomes almost like a buddy movie, and at some level, you think it's going to develop, and you're right, I could see that point, you think it could be more cheesy, really easy, and they're all, you know, these scenes where they're nodding at each other and things like that. But it wasn't very sentimental in that
way. No, Paul Giamatti and Dominic Sessa have the most, like, hateful relationship. This, like, teacher-student relationship. And it's just really funny to watch because you don't normally see these adults being so mean to these kids.
I know. He's like the worst teacher to have to stay back with the kids.
Yes.
Because you can tell he's just so burned out and so disgusted with most of his students. He is not necessarily a real positive influence on these kids. Good teacher, I'm sure, but yeah.
And before we talk about all the performances and stuff, something funny is that Dominic Sessa is actually a prep school student. I think he goes to Deerfield Academy, and that's where they filmed this film. And they did a casting call before they went to Hollywood to look for someone. They just decided to do a casting call, and Dominic Sessa showed up, and the casting director was like, this kid was so weird, we felt like we had to choose him because he's just so unique, and he was just such a weird personality, but it worked.
He seems like a real person.
Yeah,
yes.
And I mean, he is, I guess. But Paul Giamatti in this was so good. I mean, he's a legend. He's always good.
He's very real, yeah. And I think even though he's like a curmudgeon and just very grumpy and everything, still there's something you can't help but like about him.
Mm-hmm.
And you really kind of get the feeling, certainly by the end of the movie, that the reason he is the way he is because he cares so much about the kids.
Yes.
Yeah, and Giamatti's been making movies forever. What did I tell you? He was in Twister. Twister was like in the 90s or something, you know. But he and Alexander Payne made Sideways about 20 years ago.
Yes.
And that was his first big, he'd been in movies, but his big starring role, mm-hmm. he killed it. It was really great.
And did he win an Oscar for that? I don't think so.
But he was
my generation knows him from Liar Liar, the movie where he turns blue.
Is that the one where he's blue?
Yeah, it's with Amanda Bynes. It's just like silly movie, but everyone on Twitter was like, "This guy." It's really funny.
That's
funny. But I have seen Sideways, and he's super good in it. And I mean, we can talk about Oscars and stuff now because he was nominated for Best Actor in this. And then Divine Joy Randolph was nominated for Best Supporting Actress. And I mean, it seems like she's going to win. She's won every award so far. And she was really good in this movie. Her character was, oh, just so sad. But she had a good attitude about things. And it was an interesting character. But for Paul Giamatti, I mean, the Oscar is almost certainly going to go to Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer. However, there's a theory that Bradley Cooper could kind of split the vote with Cillian for Maestro, and then it could leave Paul Giamatti winning because everyone loves him in Hollywood.
Yes, and you know, he's been around a long time, like an earned Oscar.
Yeah.
Career Oscar.
I'd be happy with either of them winning. And yeah, and I do like that this movie is more of a family movie than a lot of the movies coming out these days. I don't know. It seems like one that you could, I mean, I guess it's not the happiest of Christmas movies, but it has a Christmas movie.
There's a warmth to it.
There's a warmth, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you really, it's funny because it's about some students, or at least a student, whose family is pretty dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. And yet this little group that forms at Christmas time ends up creating a new kind of family for mm-hmm. him. And it does show how people, so many people today are estranged from their family or don't have a reliable parents. But sometimes other people can step up and really make that difference in a young person's life.
Yeah, it's and true. Set against the backdrop of the Vietnam War, was 1970, 71, all this turmoil going on in the world. And he's teaching the classics, right? Teaching Latin, and there's a certainty in his life, but then you start to figure out that, man, there's nothing certain in his life or anybody else's. You know, there's all sorts of things going on, you know.
He is the meanest, worst teacher in the world. He literally starts a new unit the day before Christmas break and is like, well, you guys need to study up because there'll be a quiz when we come back. Like, that is evil. And it's just such a good way, though, to capture, like, how annoying this teacher is, and he knows he's hated. That's the funny thing. I think if I was he's not a professor. If I was a teacher, I would be so embarrassed if people hated me, but he doesn't care.
He seems to, relish it.
I will say, we should do about Schmidt. Remember, I've been wanting to see.
It's not that good.
That's maybe ever. No, the one thing about Alexander Payne, too, he was, you know what he wrote? I mean, he writes a lot, too.
Seems like he's a good writer. What?
Meet the Parents.
That's the best movie
that's
ever.
So funny.
So he's obviously got a sense of humor, and it showed. That was the long way around. That there's a lot of humor in this film.
Wes Anderson, it's very subtle.
Yeah,
I mean,
it really is a classic dramedy, right? There's some dramatic elements, but most of it is kind of it is funny. You know?
Yeah, it has a very unique tone, and I mean, the casting in this is just so good because those kids that are left behind, it's just so funny. There's like a jock who's kind of a surfer dude. Then there's this evil kid. And then there's this, it's just like these two really little kids who are also there hanging out with the senior in high school. And it's just like a funny dynamic. And I was super interested with how they were going to, because I knew that the story was mostly about Dominic Sessa with Paul Giamatti. So I was like, are these kids going to be in it the whole time? And it was a really clever way to get them out of the film. And yeah, it really, I mean, the plot, it was a tad long, but the plot really was accelerating at most points.
It was, yes.
Yeah, but a little bit of it could have been cut, definitely. I felt the length by the end.
Well, and I think those filters, 1970s filter looks like a Kodak camera.
That.
They definitely had that. We weren't around that long in the 70s, but it was, although I guess we were around. We were kids then. It looked like that, you know,
it really did feel like you were in that period.
They shot it on film and you can tell, and it looks so good, man. All the movies this year look really, really good. I'm glad that there's finally, I don't know, a push for that. Not really. I'm just kidding.
It's the technology that just kind of.
It must be. But yeah, it just looked really good. I thought it looked so much better than Sideways or something like that. There was just such a unique flavor to this film.
You're right. And also, when you think about it, he was filming in a place that is the buildings, I'm assuming, were, didn't they say something like 100 or 200 years old? I mean, so it's like not modern day, as in 1970s setting for the actual structures. So other than the dress, again, kind of a lot of uniform, so it's hard to tell what period it is from the way they dress. But by using that filter, it probably helps to make you realize you're at that period in time.
Really, though, yeah, it seems, yeah, that's actually a really, really good point. It was probably not as hard to make as some of these movies that are period pieces.
Yeah.
Any favorite scenes?
Can I
go?
Yeah.
The part at the end where they all stand up on the desks and they say, "Captain, my captain."
Nope, wrong movie. It really didn't. I mean, yes, structurally, I guess it was similar to Dead Poets Society, but I mean, it was totally different character dynamics. Paul Giamatti was like the opposite.
Actually, yes.
Yeah, he was the opposite.
Type of teacher, right?
Yeah. I mean, curmudgeon is the best word for it. Even though we did like this movie, like, there's not much to say about it without totally spoiling it. And I mean, it's a good one to just go. I think anyone can like this movie or enjoy it.
I think people would enjoy it. It's not like a laugh a minute, but it's very pleasant, and you end up liking the characters. And it really has something to say about relationships.
Yeah, and if you got a couple of teenagers who you're thinking of sending to boarding school, you might want to watch it. Yeah, yes. Have them watch it too while they're at it.
Oh my gosh! I did like the dynamic they had at the very beginning of like all the boys in the dorm and stuff, like, ew, imagine how bad it smells, and there's just so much cussing and just terrible stuff happening in there. I thought that was really funny. But should we get to ratings? How many bottles of cognac would we give this film?
Out of 5?
No, out of 8. Yes, out of 5.
I'd say 3.5.
I would say 3.75.
I think I'd say 3.5 too. Yes, okay. I think it was good, not great, but I do think most people would like it.
And this is one of those that I actually do want to rewatch, because even though I'm not giving it as high of a score as some other films recently, this I would want to rewatch with people who don't maybe love movies like I do, because I think they would actually enjoy it.
Yeah, and it's a testament to the actors, because you feel like you've seen this type of movie before. It does have some twists here and there, but they really excelled, all three of them, the main people.
Yeah.
And well written. I mean, the dialogue's very realistic.
It is.
And it sounds very natural, which helps make actors' lives easier too.
And I'll be curious to see what Dominic Sessa and Divine Joy Randolph do in the future. I mean, Divine Joy Randolph definitely could have an Oscar in a few months. And Dominic Sessa, I mean, honestly, he should have been nominated because he was really, really good for supporting actor. But whatever. He'll do big things.
You think they could make About Schmidt too?
You are obsessed with About Schmidt. This man. Strangelove, let us know if you are also obsessed with About Schmidt. So now we will talk about American Fiction, which is one of my favorite movies that I saw last year. And it was directed by Cord Jefferson, this is his first feature, and he's actually a William & Mary alum, which is cool. And what's even cooler is a few years ago at our annual Ampersand International Arts Festival, it's like this film festival / arts festival, obviously, that's in Williamsburg every year. And Cord Jefferson came to speak because he's an alumni. And he was talking about how he's in the process of developing a script that he wrote and that it's a big hassle and it's been a pain. And it turns out that's American Fiction, which is now nominated for 5 Academy Awards, which is so special and so cool that I got to see him. I asked him a question about working on Succession because he was one of the writers for that. He was a writer on Station 11, which is a show that we talked about and loved.
Such a great TV show. Yeah, so really good. So much better than, what was it?
The Last of Us.
Than The Last of Us, really.
No, this entire winter break, we've been trying to find TV shows to watch, and we were just like, why aren't there more Station 11 type shows out there? This Traveling Symphony.
Yes.
So good. But really what he's best known for is being one of the head writers for The Good Place, which I don't think y'all have seen. It's a good show. It's really funny. So he has a comedic background, but also can clearly write drama. And he was a journalist before he was a screenwriter or anything like that. So good writer, clearly. This film is incredibly well written and a lot of fun. What'd y'all think of American Fiction?
I really liked it. And it was one of these movies that we went to. I didn't know a thing about it. I just knew the title and that there was a William & Mary connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. But we really enjoyed it. It was really something. It was a nice change of pace from no guns, nothing blowing up. You know, it was a real story told in a storytelling fashion. That sounds really dumb, I think. But it was a very
smart writing.
It was well told.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, it was a very traditional, just kind of family story, mm-hmm. and it. For some reason, it reminded me of Van Tyler books, and I know they made a movie out of Accidental Tourist many years ago, but it was that kind of drama, where it was a mixture of drama and comedy. It's not laugh-out-loud funny.
Some parts are.
Yeah, some parts are, but it's very amusing and very on the mark as far as how people and families interact.
Yeah, this film stars Jeffrey Wright, who I think this may be his first leading man
role.
Yeah,
the great Jeffrey Wright. Finally. So good. Yes, he gets his due because he was fantastic in this.
And it's so exciting because he was actually nominated for Best Actor, which is just he's so deserving.
I know he's probably deserved to be nominated for his Wes Anderson other films before this.
So many great films. And then Sterling K. Brown, who was also nominated for Best Supporting Actor, which we love to see because This Is Us and
we
everything.
Love This Is Us. And he was, I think he has won an Emmy, right?
Yes, maybe. He has. And then it also stars Erica Alexander, Leslie Uggams, and John Ortiz is the funny agent guy who, I don't know. This movie is really complicated to talk about because there are just so many moving parts to it. But in the center of it, it is a family drama, like you said. It's marketed more as just a pure satire, which there are a lot of satirical elements. But, I mean, you spend a lot more time with the family and the struggles that this family endures.
And I think what's most unusual about it is this could be any American family. Mm-hmm. And I think that really is actually kind of one of the key elements of the film, because I think his point is that we as Americans, whether we're on the left side or the right side, tend to have certain stereotypes about certain races, and mm-hmm. In this case, African Americans. And yet again, these are just people. You don't expect certain things from them. The characters are so believable and so recognizable that you just kind of are looking at them as, okay, I probably know somebody like this in my family.
Well, and also you didn't mention Tracy Ellis Ross. She's in
it. Yes.
She's from she's done a lot of things, but mostly from Blackish. Know her from Blackish, which she was.
She has a great sense of style too. She's always wearing up and coming.
She's so funny in that, and she's funny in this too. But mm-hmm. So the plot, it has to do with him.
Jeffrey Wright's
character is a professor at a college, and kind of controversial. You could tell he's been there a while and tenured maybe. And
A little bit burned out.
And he's trying to move the needle, whatever you want to call it, by bringing out discussions about race and how he's a purist. You can tell he's a scholar too. And he writes at a scholarly level. And he's just...
He's a little out of date.
Yeah,
really.
He is.
He's
just scandalized by the stuff that sells for, you know, African-American literature. You have to be...
Issa Rae, who plays the author.
Yeah, she was good, too.
Yeah, he just walks in on a... They're just like the entire... This is so unrealistic, because who is that? Who goes to book readings anymore? But, no, that's so mean. But, he goes to one of hers, and just super crowded, and she's reading this book. And, like, she's real... They say, like, Stanford, whatever. Just, like, real educated. And then she reads her excerpt, and it's just...
It's all street.
Reminded me... I'm surprised they didn't use this, because one of my favorite quotes is that Emerson, the language of the street, is strong because it's all in the language of the street, you know. And this person who had gone to Stanford, what does she know about that? But she knows it sells, and so he's like dismayed and, oh my gosh, you know, literature will never be the same, that kind of thing,
because he thinks it's phony.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. So he decides to do, and it perpetuates stereotypes, mm-hmm, because it is writing about a certain type of individual,
and he has a book that just is not selling, no one wants to publish it. So then I think out of rage and just kind of as a joke, he decides to write a book similar to the one Issa Rae writes, and he does it in a night, and I think that's really well shot when he's yes. imagining it in his head, but it's also in the office with him. That's really cool.
I know, it sounds cheesy, but I thought it worked really well, and it was very, you know, as he's writing, it's happening, and then the characters are asking, wait, what do I do next? And
it's so clever.
It was kind of, that's when it kind of came a little bit more of a comedy. You know, at first it's all drama, 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 and then it gets into the comedy part.
And what's also kind of unusual is that Sterling K. Brown, I think it starts to get funnier when he comes into it. And we know him mostly from like really serious, dramatic roles. I mean, he's always like the serious yeah. guy who is kind of holding things together.
Yeah.
And in this case, he is, I mean, he's a smart guy, but his life is kind of up in the air and he's just kind of flaky. And yeah.
He must have loved that role because, I mean, he was chewing up the scenery with
yeah.
his
oh, yeah.
yes.
And he's also whatever. So ripped.
Yeah.
Whenever right. he takes his shirt off, I'm like, why is this guy so muscular? Sterling K. Brown is Monk's bro. Oh, we haven't even said. This is super clever. So it's Jeffrey Wright's character is named Thelonious, and they call him Monk. That's
yeah,
really
that
clever.
Is clever.
Yeah. And, oh, I forgot to also say that this is adapted from a book. From, I think, like early 2000s. So you can kind of tell, but I'm sure it sounds like a great read, too. But, oh, yeah, so Sterling K. Brown is Monk's brother, and they're having all these family issues. And then Monk goes to his agent and shows him this book, and the agent doesn't really like it either. He's like, this is pretty stupid. And then, of course, the publishers just love it, and that's when it gets really funny. I don't want to spoil any of the jokes, but there's just, like, a lot of funny stuff that happens, and it's just so ridiculous. They just think like this author, he uses a different pen name, and it's just so.
Yeah, it's a classic case of mistaken identity.
Yes.
There have been so many movies like that, but they had enough twists that. And they pulled it together too. I thought the end was very. I kept thinking, how are they going to end this? Because it's very, very tricky, but it was a good job.
I know. And this will go into a little bit of spoilers, but really not that many. But stop listening if you haven't seen American Fiction, I guess. But. I really like the part where he has the conversation with Issa Rae in the boardroom during lunch because both of them have totally different sides. He's just saying like, why are you writing like this? This is like garbage. It's
it's not genuine.
Yeah. And it's just setting back African Americans like 100 years by perpetuating the stereotypes. And she then argues back like, well, it's what sells. It's what people, yeah, I don't know. And you kind of go away not knowing who to agree with.
Both of them have good points.
They do.
Yeah.
Well, if I could make a connection too to the holdovers, which this is mm-hmm. a 2-for-1 episode, right? Is there was a sweetness to the movie too, because there were some parts of the real quiet moments where the tangential characters find love and it's about sort of missed opportunities. And,
oh, yeah.
And I thought that was very sweet. I was not expecting that, like the wedding. I was like, yeah, kind of.
And that's the thing. I think really all the characters in this including the eventual girlfriend and the mother, everybody is just kind of likable. I think one of the best things about it is that everybody is just a character you can identify with. And nobody is really a bad person. They're all really pretty good people with flaws. And I think you can, again, you recognize, as I've said before, you recognize these characters, but also you kind of get irritated with them. And then a few minutes later, you might sympathize with them.
Yes.
And that's kind of unusual in a film. I mean, I think a lot of times too many movies now have just really clearly the good guy and the bad guy. And there's really no bad guy.
That's kind of I'm glad we did holdovers with this too, because yeah, there's no arch villain in either of these,
right.
Which is kind of refreshing to watch.
It is.
Because that's what life is. And also, that's how family is, you know? Sometimes you love them, sometimes you get annoyed with them, and it's pretty cool that you can put these characters in our lives for 2 hours, and we actually sympathize with them, we are annoyed with them, do all these things with them.
Yeah, and he had all sorts of things going on with his family, with his mom, getting a little, you know, older and forgetting things.
Yeah.
And, you know, finding the right place for her, and there's this dissension, and he was not her favorite. It's pretty obvious who was the favorite in the family.
Yep.
There's a big family dynamic that plays out really well, but you can tell they love each other and care about each other. But getting back to Jeffrey Wright, I know we're wrapping up here.
Yeah, he's great.
He was, I mean, he's overdue for all the attention, because if you haven't seen French Dispatch, I mean,
so good.
At first, when we first saw it, I was like, it's okay. You know, that vignette wasn't I didn't think that was the best one. Last time we saw it, it was the best one. Yeah. He was so great. He was so fantastic. And he's, for those of you who've seen the James Bond films, he was Felix Leiter, the American CIA agent. And he played that really well, too. Very straightforward, very... He's such a great actor. So.
You just really always believe whoever he's playing.
Yeah, it's good to see him get the attention, the accolades for this.
And he's never like the perfect person. Yeah. Which, again, makes him realistic,
and very
too.
Similar, again, to The Holdovers. He's not necessarily likable because he's very, you know, he's intellectual and he doesn't know he's being, not necessarily arrogant, but really, really close to it.
You feel like he's trying to do the right thing. Yeah.
Something I just found out is... No offense to Jeffrey Wright, but I don't think it's likely he'll win this Oscar. But he, if he won an Oscar, he'd have an EGOT. He has an Emmy, Golden Globe, and Tony for his role as Belize in the Broadway production of Angels in America. And it's acclaimed HBO miniseries. Oh, I've never even heard of that.
Yeah,
didn't he win for like American Crime Story?
He may have.
Sterling K. Brown, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes, that's what Sterling K. Brown won for, I think.
I think so. When he played Johnny Cochran, I think.
Oh.
I think. Yes. I may be remembering
wrong. It's kind of crazy that Cord Jefferson could get all of these people, but it shows how good the script must have been.
Well, in his debut, too, Jeffrey Wright was Basquiat.
Now, let's get to ratings. How many books would we give American Fiction out of 5?
Books. You know, I'd give it 4 because, I, going into it, I wasn't expecting... Anything really?
I know. I kind of forced y'all to go.
Yeah,
on
I didn't
a Friday
know what
night.
It was, and I just went. You know, because you said it was good, and we went, and we really enjoyed it, and it was refreshing.
Yeah, I'd probably give it 4 too, just because. I mean, I don't think it was like a great film, but it was different, and I think it was again relatable, and I think it was definitely one of the few maybe Oscar contenders this year that I can see watching again and enjoying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I would probably give it a 4.25. The 0.25 is for the William and Mary connection. No, but I was a big fan. I could see liking this more on the rewatch or thinking it's cheesy and not liking it as much on the rewatch. I'm not totally sure. That's kind of how I feel about The Holdovers, too. So I'm glad we combined these two.
I liked this better than The Holdovers, I have to say.
Yeah.
I think. Just because I think it was more original.
I think I liked it more, too.
Yeah, it was more relatable, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really good. And again... It's super hard, and I think we've talked about this on Strange Love before, but it's really hard making movies in the present day that aren't cringy or, you know, like using social media and all this stuff, but they did such a good job with it. It felt like just placed in our modern day, oh, this is what my friend's family's struggling with right now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was done really well. It was done right. So good job, Cord Jefferson. Thank you guys for listening to this episode about The Holdovers and American Fiction. Follow us on Instagram @StrangeLoveMedia. Visit our website, StrangeLoveMovies.com. And we will see you next time.